Good morning. My name is Melissa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Baylin Technologies Third Quarter Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question at this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Randy Dewey, Vice Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer of Baylin Technologies. Please go ahead.
Hello and welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. This is the third quarter earnings conference call for Baylin Technologies. We are very pleased to report our third positive EBITDA quarter in a row. Today we have our CFO, Mr. Jim Newell, joining, and he will provide a financial overview and be available for questions at the end. Before we begin our full report, let me make clear that our comments today will include answers to questions and statements that could imply future events, such as our 2016 and 2017 prospects and financial performance, which could include the usage of non-GAAP and non-IFRS measures. Though it is obvious these statements are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions, accordingly, actual performance could differ materially from statements made today, so do not place undue reliance upon them. We also disclaim any obligations to update forward-looking statements except as required by law. I ask that you read our legal disclaimer and refer you to the risk and assumptions outlined in our public disclosures, in particular the section entitled Forward-Looking Information of our MD&A for the interim period ending September 30, 2016, and our filings with the Securities Commissions in Canada. Q3 results were released after market yesterday. The press release, financial statements, as well as the MD&A are available on SEDAR and on our website at www.baylintech.com. I'd like to remind everyone that we report our financial numbers in U.S. dollars. However, our stock price is reported, obviously, in Canadian dollars. Welcome to our 2016 third quarter conference call. As I mentioned, we are very pleased to report our third quarter of positive EBITDA. And as you see in our results, all the major metrics of the company continue to improve and are trending in the right direction. I'd like to provide a brief summary of our results for the quarter and then comment on the market outlook in each of our three product lines, after which I will ask Mr. Jim Newell to cover the details in the financials. We continue to enjoy positive revenue growth year over year. We are up 40% in revenue this quarter versus the same quarter last year. The improvement in sales is driven by infrastructure and are, and to some degree, mobile products. I am particularly pleased with the ability to convert the extra sales into EBITDA through our frequency and momentum in one-time charges are declining. These two positive trends can also be seen in our cash generation in this quarter. We built some cash from the sale of an asset, but also from operations, which is a testimony to the quality of our improvements. The fact sales conversion is now dropping to the bottom line and building cash is the type of trend we're pleased to see. We continue to refine our cost structure and we believe we still have some room to improve in these areas. Overall, we're pleased with our results for the quarter. Revenue in Q3 2016 was better than anticipated due to strong infrastructure sales and mobile sales. Our gross margins are holding around 28%, and our OPEX is slightly higher than we had wanted due to some extra spending we don't believe will continue, and our goal is to continue to remain under $5 million per quarter. Our mobile product line continues to see strong growth year over year, and our diversification strategy is producing good results. The new mobile OEM product lines have made a positive contribution and will continue through the balance of the year into 2017. We have a good mobile product line order book. Our networking product line has seen good recovery from a softer first half of the year. We expect to see this quarter-over-quarter growth continue through into 2017. We reported earlier that there were large mergers in the sector that have impacted us and that this situation would be temporary, and we're seeing that to be true. We are seeing things are returning and opportunities for design work are returning to normal historical levels. The infrastructure product line was up due in large part to stadium and outdoor DAS projects. We have launched several new products this year and have gained a lot of momentum in the market with these products, and our R&D team continues to launch new products over the balance of the year and into next year as well. With that said, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Jim Newell, the Chief Financial Officer of Baylin Technologies, to provide more commentary and more details on our financial picture. Mr. Newell?
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Let me start by returning to a few recurring themes from previous calls this year. Positive EBITDA in the current quarter. This is now the third consecutive quarter with a positive result. Revenue growth. Year-over-year growth was 40% in Q3, and at $16.9 million was the highest level since going public in November of 2013. Gross profit growth. Current quarter was $4.7 million, up 73% year-over-year, and was higher than Q2. Adjusted operating expenses were $5 million and in line with management's expectations. From a balance sheet perspective, we improved our liquidity in the current quarter by building $1.4 million of cash to $9.5 million, reducing the cash conversion cycle to 26 days, and closed the sale and lease back of our Israel-based R&D facility, yielding an additional $1.2 million of liquidity in Q3. Turning now to revenue. Third quarter fiscal 2016 revenue was $16.9 million, the highest quarterly level since becoming a public company in November 2013. This compares favorably with the $12.1 million posted in Q3 last year, reflecting a 40.1% year-over-year growth. This increase was primarily due to stronger shipments of mobile products and infrastructure products, though partially offset by a small decline in the networking product shipments. Moving to gross profit, Q3 2016 saw an increase to $4.7 million, up 73.2% from the level posted in the same quarter last year, and up $0.3 million versus the prior quarter. The improvements were the direct result of higher revenue and production volumes in Q3 versus last year. Gross margin also improved to 27.9% in Q3 2016, a 5.4 percentage point increase from last year's comparable quarter. Let me now turn to the major operating expenses. Overall operating expenses were $5 million, when adjusted for non-recurring items. This level is in line with management's expectations. Research and development costs were $2.1 million in Q3 2016, up from the two previous quarters as we focus our resources on investing in new product development in order to build the product line. Sales and marketing costs were $0.8 million, slightly higher than in Q2 2016. Our plan for hiring new salespeople in order to support the growth of our networking and wireless infrastructure business areas continues. General and administrative costs at $2.3 million for the current quarter were comparable with Q1 and Q2 of 2016. Our adjusted EBITDA in Q3 was positive $600,000, the third consecutive positive result. This compares favorably against the negative amount of $1.3 million in last year's Q3. As noted in previous calls, the continued strong mobile and infrastructure revenue volumes and the associated leverage of higher production volumes over a relatively fixed manufacturing cost base have contributed to the year-over-year improvement. The balance sheet also continued to show improving trends. At September 30th, 2016, we had cash on hand of $9.5 million, a further $1.4 million increase from the end of Q2. Non-cash working capital declined another $1.3 million in the quarter, largely due to collecting the balance of the proceeds on the sale and lease back of our Israel-based facility. I'll now briefly turn to our year-to-date results. Revenue increased to $48.4 million, up 61.1% from the same nine-month period last year. The factors cited in explaining the Q3 increase apply also to the year-to-date results. Gross profit increased to $13.4 million, or 27.7% of revenue. Both metrics were considerably better than last year, with gross profit dollars up 124.3% and gross margin up 7.8 percentage points. Operating expenses at $14.7 million declined from a year ago by 4.1%. As a percentage of revenue, operating expenses were 30.4%, an improvement from a year ago level of 51.1%. EBITDA for the first three quarters of 2016 was $1 million versus $6.7 million loss in the first three quarters of last year. On an adjusted basis, EBITDA was $1.3 million in the current period, a substantial turnaround from the loss posted in 2015 of $5.5 million. Looking ahead, the fourth quarter of every fiscal year experiences some seasonality within two product lines. The fourth quarter of this year will be no different, though the seasonal impact could be somewhat greater due to several projects that were delayed. However, we remain positive about our momentum. While any softness we may encounter in fourth quarter is expected to be seasonality related, we believe the financial metrics will continue to be positive for the balance of 2016. I'll now turn it back to Randy for his concluding remarks.
Thanks, Jim. Our view for 2016 remains very positive, and we are very pleased with the strong performance year to date. And as Jim alluded to earlier, we have some seasonality ahead of us, for which I believe our analysts are familiar with and have put that into their forecasts. The Q4 consensus is roughly 14.4 to 14.5, which we're very comfortable with. The overarching themes I see in our results that I want to make clear to the group are these. First, annual revenue growth is 61%, which is obviously very satisfying, with most coming from infrastructure and mobile, which is a more diversified customer base this year versus last year. And our year-over-year growth and trajectory is very positive. We have produced more adjusted EBITDA in Q3 over Q2. Our trend on cost erosion continues, and we are not done reducing our waste in our system. Third, we have invested in R&D, and we're launching a lot of new products this year that are far more sophisticated and have a lot higher ASPs as well as margin, which we believe supports our growth and projections into 2017. Lastly, we are managing our cash well and built a stronger balance sheet over the past 6 months, and that trend continues. We have accomplished more in 2016 than we originally set out in our in several key areas. Our prospects and growth opportunities are positive, and we are carrying ourselves with good momentum into 2017. I remain truly confident in Baylin's outstanding executive team we've amassed, and we continue to see growth and improvement in our company and harnessing the opportunities that we have before us. Our three product lines are facing good tailwinds moving into 2017, and we remain optimistic about our future. That concludes my formal remarks, and with that, operator, if we could open up the line to questions.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Jonathan Lowe from Raymond James. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Just on the seasonality, the two products, are those in the networking segment?
Which two product lines are you talking about?
The ones that are going to see the seasonality.
Mostly in infrastructure is really where there's seasonality. You know, towards the end of the year, there is some seasonality in that. So we had a couple of projects that were moved out into 2017. So it's more of a timing issue. That would be where the lion's share of the seasonality comment really lies.
Okay, so those projects are still contracted for, just pushing out to next year.
Right. Yeah, it's not lost sales. It's just timing has changed on a couple of the platforms. So we still have those projects laid out. We just thought they were going to come in Q4, and they got moved out a little bit.
Okay, and then in mobile, is there a big impact from the discontinuation of the Note 7?
No, there's not been a lot of impact on us as it relates to that. Obviously, that was a very difficult situation for Samsung, but we remain working closely with them through the a difficult period, but it has not had a material impact on our bottom line results.
Okay. And for other OEMs, can you talk about any new ones that you're potentially going to sign, and timing of when phones launch? Is there some seasonality that we should be taking into account?
Actually, there is no seasonality with those new OEMs that we've been working with. But we're ahead of where we thought we would be with them, so which is good news. I mean, because of our NDAs and unfortunately our inability to disclose who exactly those three OEMs are, we're pleased with the fact that we're gaining momentum with those three. We're diversifying our mobile division nicely. We're a little ahead of where we thought we would be, and that trend continues. So our hope is over the next couple of years to get it to 50-50 in that division, which we've been on record to say.
Okay, and then for infrastructure, how many more products do you have expected to launch for the remainder of the year, and to what extent have new products contributed to this strong quarter?
Yeah, so the new products that came out this year have not contributed a lot to the quarter's results. We've just gotten those products out mostly in Q3. So sales have been modest as those products have just launched. They haven't been sort of spec'd into new projects, and it takes a little bit of time from a product launch to sales orders because of the sophistication of those products. Usually are attached to a lot larger deployment in a region or a municipality or in a stadium or whatever. So the growth in our infrastructure sales for the third quarter came on really on the back of existing products in our product portfolio. So we're expecting, obviously, the ones that we launched in Q3 to start producing good results for us in 2017. I'm sure we'll see a bit of procurement of those products in Q4, but we're not holding out on that. We've got a good strong product portfolio now that will carry us through to the end of this year.
And how many more products do you have launching between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, I can't disclose that, actually, at
okay.
this point in time. We do have, I would say majority of them will be in Q1,
okay.
but of the current sort of, our product roadmap, but we do have a few that are launching in Q4.
Okay, great. I'll pass the line. Thanks, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Daniel Kim from Paradigm Capital. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you. Congrats on the quarter. Great to see continued progression on the top and bottom line. So obviously great turnaround in the company. Randy, if I could just break it out by division, beginning with infrastructure. Perhaps I can look at it another way. Not a day seems to go by when we don't see an article on something talking about network densification, and all the U.S. carriers looking to the small cells and the DOS as an opportunity to continue to leverage their infrastructure. Can you talk about where you're seeing the opportunities relative to, let's say, your core customers today versus the new customers, and how you see the growth unfolding going forward?
Well, the lion's share of the products that we are set to launch are going to be in this area. These are going to be outdoor DAS, which is what we call them, and they will be a part of the densification strategy of the carrier. So our growth that we're seeing in 2017 comes on the back of this trend that you're seeing in the press. And because of our relationships with all the North American carriers, we're pretty clear on the products that are required to be able to service the growth in small cell and the growth expansion and densification. So that's where we've seen that trend a year ago. We got on it with the carrier's direction, and our product roadmap is really set up to capture that trend.
And Randy, could you share with us in terms of the new product portfolio and the customers you've secured, can you share with us a view with regards to how big you believe your addressable market is and where revenues might be longer term?
Well, it's hard to give you absolutes there, Daniel. However, we know that there's lots of reports that are published that will talk about the densification in the outdoor market being in the billions. But when you break that down into the actual addressable antenna market within that trend, it's probably $500 to $600 million, and that is growing at a compounded annual growth rate. I think that's actually in excess of what the quoted rate is, because of the amount of antennas that are required for the deployment is greater than the amount of systems, right? Because there's part of what the densification strategy is putting more antennas on an existing system, not necessarily ripping and replacing the base stations inside of a building. So the CAGR on the antenna growth, I think, is greater than the average that you see in that segment, which is quoted at around 66%. So that market is quite verbose and growing quite nicely in the next 5 years. And I think it's pretty well publicized that 5G is quite far down the road, and it's really about maximizing the LTE network that's out there and helping the carriers get a return on that investment. So densification is kind of the name of the game, and that really is plays favorably for us as a result of the requirement for a lot of additional antennas on those existing systems. So we believe that opportunity for us is substantial.
Okay, that's helpful. And Randy, I mean, virtually all the articles we see relate to what's happening in the U.S. You have obviously a footprint in Europe as well. Can you talk about what you're seeing happening in that market?
The European market?
With respect to infrastructure.
Yeah, so the European market is, from a DAS perspective, is a little slower than the United States market, for sure, because the network in the U.S. is quite extensive, and there's a lot more high rises and larger and denser in an urban environment. So it lends itself to the DAS market significantly. However, that said, the European market has been certainly growing. We've hired a sales director over there. I think we announced that publicly not that long ago, and we've got good relationships and manufacturing representatives there. So we're seeing good momentum in the European market, particularly in the stadium business. There's a lot of the soccer stadiums around Europe that are getting refreshed, and so there's a lot of stadium business there as well as in-building opportunities. So we're making some good progress there. That was an area that we weren't focused on, but we weren't adding resources there. We were still focused on the U.S. market, knowing that it was growing at a significant rate. But because of the reputation of some of our products, we've been sort of pulled into the European market, and now we're seeing some additional growth, which is why we added the resource there, and we're seeing some additional pickup in Europe.
Okay, terrific. And just two more questions, if I may. Switching gears to the networking side, if you look at what the contribution in the quarter, if my numbers are right, I think there's been a pretty decent sequential lift in revenues, even though year over year was relatively flat. Randy, in terms of the what you had discussed in your preamble, is this coming on the back of programs that are reinitiated with existing customers or new customers, or is it a little bit of both?
It's mostly existing customers, and it's the platforms that we would have won a year ago that finally made it to production in the third quarter. So we're seeing a good pickup on some of those new platforms. But we talked about all the mergers that have taken place, and we have landed into some pretty good new relationships in the first half of this year. So they won't turn into revenue until next year at that same time. So they're about 12 months in. From RFD to production. So that's what gives us confidence that we are returning back to growth in networking, which was off this year over last year. But we're seeing that those mergers and the new customers that we have won will pick up our opportunities in 2017. And you're right. You have seen that we've had a sequential pickup from Q2 to Q3, and it's back to maybe historic levels. But We're seeing on the back of that with the opportunities that we have won that we should get back to growth in 2017, which is our obviously our goal.
Right, and presumably these programs obviously would have a multi-year outlook, so you'd have a pretty good visibility even beyond 2017.
Right, yeah. This division, you know, it's slow on the sales cycle, but then the platforms are quite long, so they can go, you know, 3 years or 4 years. So we do have fairly decent visibility with our customers of where those revenues are going to be. And so it's a lot easier from a annual perspective to know where their revenues are going to be, because you can tell how many sites they want to deploy. So it, we do have a lot more visibility on the pipeline, and we know that it lasts a lot longer in terms of years and duration.
Okay, great. And last question would be on mobile. I mean, there's obviously been a lot of headlines with regards to Samsung's issues, and not really any certainty with regards to what is the root cause of the problem of some of their Note 7 issues. Could you share with us your view if you are concerned at all in terms of how this might impact other products within Samsung, if this is an isolated incident, if it will be resolved quickly, or anything that you might provide just to shed some light on what's going on there?
Sure. So maybe if I could begin with the fact that it's well publicized that the Note, as it relates to the volume and the size of that platform in Samsung's overall product line, is not a large percentage. Not, you know, it's basically the people that want to use a stylus that actually are the types of customers that go for the Note product. And that's not a large percentage of the overall customer base or following, I guess, of Samsung. So they have lots of great, strong products and brands, and yes, they had a very significant issue with the Note 7, well publicized. The brand, of course, of Samsung, you know, took a bit of a hit, but this is a very strong and very resilient company that has great products and a great customer base. So we'll see. I mean, there's certain certainty in the next 12 months, but this is a very resilient company and you know, first class group. So we expect they will, you know, go through their recovery and make progress. But you know, we'll wait and see.
Terrific. Thanks very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Dewey, I turn the call back over to you.
Oh, thank you very much, operator, and thank you very much for your questions and for your interest. I really appreciate the attention that you give us, and I look forward to talking to everybody later. Take care. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.